Well, we now know conclusively that Joe Biden was forced out of the race thanks to a coup that placed Kamala Harris in his place. And we are heading for a repeat of 1968 at the Democratic Convention, where the leading candidate at the time, Bobby Kennedy, was assassinated, of course, replaced by a candidate no one wanted and who didn't receive any votes. More on that part in a second. But first, let's start with the new cover of Time magazine today. Can you believe that? Here's the new Time magazine cover. If you're listening to the podcast version of our show, which we have a live, we have an audio version of our show, you can podcast it. It's the Time magazine. It shows a hand-sketched Kamala Harris, like over, like, I don't know, like some sort of a civil rights imagery at the bottom.
Oh, and is that what that is?
I can't really quite tell what that is. It's like people like, you know, I don't know, Black Lives Matter or something. I don't know. I can't really see it.
She's surrounded by people who are holding up her signs.
Yeah, Harris. Okay. All right. But they really, the enthusiasm. And it says her moment. It's her moment. That's the cover of Time magazine. The coronation is unbelievable ahead of the DNC. It's happening in real time. It's her moment. As a friend of the show, Glenn Greenwald writes today, the way the U.S. corporate media transformed Kamala Harris from a national embarrassment to a transformative pioneer overnight, without even pretending to care about anything that she thinks or believes, is a powerful testament to how potent the science of propaganda is. Yes. From fake CGI-generated crowds to fake photos of thousands of adoring fans, the propaganda machine is on overdrive. This is also why no one can find Harris or Waltz right now. They're not doing interviews. Keep them away from the cameras. They're being kept away from mainstream media. They're not doing ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, all of their favorite channels. They're not doing any of it right now. No interviews, no tough questions from reporters. By the way, J.D. Vance did a whole slew of interviews this weekend. He got tough questions the whole time. He can take tough questions, you know, regardless of how you feel about it. He can take tough questions. But apparently Kamala Harris and Governor Waltz cannot. Instead, the legacy media is doing the defending for them, like Molly Jong Fast, who says Kamala is so well-liked. She's so good at speaking that she's an Obama-level orator. Listen.
Yeah, I think it's a really good campaign, and people really like her. She's gotten to be a really gifted Obama-level orator, and, you know, she was very much underestimated by the mainstream media. And quite frankly, she has, you know, she has command. You hear her up there, and she is confident, she is calm, and she is commanding. And for whatever reason, America is ready for her, which is very exciting. I would also say Trump has been using these same attacks against three different presidential candidates, you know, against Harris, against Biden, and against Hillary. And they just don't necessarily, you can do it once or twice, but the third time it really feels recycled.
Yeah.
Okay. The media underestimated her.
Okay. Yeah.
Because they really she was busy, you know, hitting home runs in the background. We just missed it.
I mean, you had everyone from Stephen Colbert to Jimmy Kimmel to you even had CNN out there talking about how Kamala Harris's approval ratings were the lowest they've ever seen, that she's abysmal. She's awful, that she's a drag.
No, you didn't think that.
Drag on the ticket. All of those things. Even Jimmy Kimmel did a whole, like, musical number where they had, like, a symphony playing that she was dead. Jimmy Kimmel.
Right.
Really? Okay, so the media just got it wrong, I guess. And now this whole revival in the past few weeks, she's like Jesus. It's amazing. Meanwhile, we now know officially that Joe Biden was forced out by the Democratic elites, President Obama. How do we know this exactly? Well, we first had the reporting by Seymour Hersh on all of this, right? But then President Biden told us this weekend.
Look, the polls we had showed that it was a neck and neck race. We'd have been down to the wire. But what happened was a number of my Democratic colleagues in the House and Senate thought that I was going to hurt them in the races. And I was concerned if I stayed in the race, that would be the topic. You'd be interviewing me about why did Nancy Pelosi say, why did so? And I thought it'd be a real distraction.
But shouldn't we have had that choice?
Yeah.
That was up to us, not to you.
The voters voted for him. So, wait a minute. President Obama can come in and invoke the 25th Amendment threaten the 25th Amendment, as Seymour Hersh had reported a few weeks ago. That's now confirmed. Nancy Pelosi, a part of this cabal to unseat a sitting president from the campaign, a person who had won all of the nomination process and the delegates were fully in his camp. You can just do that? Just get on the phone and threaten him with the 25th Amendment?
And what does it
Amendment?
Say of their platform if a weak president can take the rug out from under Democratic senators and Congress representatives? That means they don't actually believe in their platform. They're only playing a game for power.
Right, exactly. But who wrote that resignation letter, right? Because if it wasn't, was it Joe Biden? Because a lot of people believed at the time, we reported at the time, first of all, this isn't even on official White House letterhead. That doesn't sound like him. Who wrote this? That's not even his signature. Who wrote his resignation letter? Here, again, who signed this thing? Signatures are completely different from his executive orders that he signed over the past few weeks. Whose signature is that? It's not his signature. Well, who signed it? Nancy Pelosi also doesn't believe Joe Biden wrote it or even signed it.
That's about as close as I got to 4D.
I didn't accept the letter as anything but a letter. I mean, and another, there are some people who were unhappy with the letter. Let me say to some said that some people were unhappy with the letter. I'll put it in somebody else's mouth. Because it was I don't even know, it didn't sound like Joe Biden to me. It really didn't. So, but.
Oh.
Didn't.
Really? Then who wrote it? Who's running the United States of America? Why is there not more outrage about this? I mean, why are we one of the only shows talking about this? Who's running the country right now? You're doing an interview with the president of the United States who was forced out by a deep state cabal, right?
And we're heading into war. We need to know who's leading right now.
I mean, everyone wants to talk about, does J.D. Vance have wear eyeliner and all this other BS and stuff? I mean, really? We're heading into war with Americans about to be killed in a war in the Middle East. I mean, what is bigger than that right now? U.S. economy is in the toilet, and we don't know who's running the White House at all. Who's running the White House? Who's signing these executive orders? Who ordered all of these new aircraft carriers to head to the Middle East? Was it President Biden?
Or signed off on 35 million more for Israel? Or was it billion? Got it today.
Yeah, I don't know that it was billion.
35 million more for Israel, just at the very threat of Iran. Who wants that? Who's paying for that?
Who is? I don't know. I guess no one seems to care. I mean, I guess we're literally at a point now. Like, where are the conservative men, like, in this country? Where are the men who can stand up right now and demand answers? I feel like they're just being walked on. They're just being walked on. Where are the men in this country? Stand up. Like, look what's happening at the southern border. Like, what is going on?
Sorry, I mean, it was $3.5 billion in foreign military financing to Israel. $3.5 billion. It's not $35 million, and it's not $35 billion, but we are deciding to pay for that.
I mean, I'm exasperated. Who the hell's doing it? I mean, you know, someone says, Miss Stacy in a Rumble chat says, money laundering cash that was assigned to Ukraine. It's a big money laundering scheme. I mean, who is running our country? As someone in the chat earlier said in a super chat that Netanyahu is running the country. I mean, I'm sure they're getting advice from him on whoever is running the country in the executive branch right now is getting on the phone with and running everything through Tel Aviv. I'm sure they are. Of course they are. We just literally had the head of CENTCOM in Tel Aviv last week. You know, Secretary of the Defense is also meeting with them regularly. So who's running things? I think it's being run out of Tel Aviv, it seems, right now. The Democratic primary, I think we're about to repeat, of 1968. When the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy led to this chaotic and undemocratic selection process at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, a repeat of Chicago, when Chicago Mayor Richard Daley essentially installed Hubert Humphrey as the nominee, even though he didn't win any primaries and voters didn't vote for him. But of course, Humphrey was also a pro-war candidate, a warmonger, intent on keeping the war in Vietnam going and burning and churning. So people didn't want Humphrey, but the warmongering Democratic Party and the elites did, of course. The deep state, the military-industrial complex. Sound familiar? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. believes it does.
Bob, does today's news affect your campaign moving forward?
Well, Liz, I think everything affects my campaign. I can't tell you how, and I try not to make predictions because I try not to do spin. And I think, you know, as any of you can see, that we're living in a very, very dynamic situation now. It's unprecedented in American history. In fact, the closest thing to this, you know, when I look back on American history, is the 1968 primaries where my father participated and was killed. And ironically, these, you know, the convention, the Democratic convention this year is being held once again in Chicago. And in 1968, the Democratic Party tried to fix that that convention with Mayor Daley basically anointing Hubert Humphrey, who was the DNC's choice, and there was chaos that erupted, and it destroyed the Democratic Party for a decade. So I think we have a lot to learn from that history. As I think Mark Twain said, that, you know, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes, and it's really rhyming right now.
People in the chat are saying, like, Clay, what do you like think we should do? Like, what? Right? Look, I'm like, where are the people that can organize and get together? We keep hearing about these like mysterious. Oh, there's like 100,000 individuals up in North Dakota that are ready to, you know, ready to march on Washington and peacefully march on Washington and make demand. I don't know where these people are. I mean, the United States border is wide open. And remember, there was supposed to be some massive truck convoy that was heading there.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that? Like, whatever happened to? I don't know what I was talking to a high level conservative the other day, and he said conservatives are just getting walked all over right now. They're just like, they're just sitting there waiting and watching.
Yes.
And I don't know what's happening, but Democrats, they're literally rolling over the country right now and allowing this to happen. We're going to see war happening in Chicago in the next few days. And, you know, you're going to see the media spin on what's going to happen at the DNC and the tens of thousands of illegal Venezuelans and illegal immigrants that have taken over Chicago and the native population of Chicago being pushed out, jobs lost. Pushed out of shelters and, you know, totally run down communities as a result of illegal immigrants pouring in there. It's really, really sad. As Kathy Richardson in our chat says, the real men that you're looking for, Clayton, have been fluorinated into submission. Yeah. All right.
Feels like it.
But I mean, right now, I mean, he's accused, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has accused the Democratic Party of rigging the nomination process, endorsing Kamala Harris, who is obviously monumentally unpopular. The mainstream media in the United States, as Natalie just pointed out in her piece, has basically rewritten her as this economic messiah, that she's going to somehow come in and save us from inflation. And, you know, and the mainstream media, of course, is coronating her with a front page of Time magazine. The mainstream media is not pressing them into doing any sort of interviews, getting to the bottom of Tim Walz's record. What has she done on the border?
Yeah.
Jonathan Carl, who on ABC News was the one who on air said she was the border czar. And now he's saying, no, she was never the border czar. Like, yeah. The mainstream media is rewriting this in real time.
But bit by bit, one economic policy at a time. That's absolutely right.